This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Being an entrepreneur can be brutal. Getting people to eventually buy whatever it is that you're making is hard enough. But before you can even get there, you have to convince investors to risk their money on your dreams. For that, you need, in roughly this order, a great idea, a talented team, and a really, really good pitch. But sometimes even all that is not quite enough, as Marketplace's Mark Garrison explains.
Imagine yourself in a conference room considering a risky investment in farming technology. You're going to judge clips from two video pitches to decide who gets $1 million. Here's the first.
Currently, the fish egg market is worth $1 billion a year. To the existing market, CryoSite offers eggs that produce healthy, meaty fish without the need for expensive environmental modulation equipment.
And here's the second, which is quite similar.
By providing eggs during a time of year that they simply cannot be produced currently, we enable a $300 million market segment that we are uniquely positioned to address.
Who do you risk $1 million on? Take a moment to decide. The clips came from a recent entrepreneurship study from Harvard, Wharton, and MIT's business schools. And actually, the pitches aren't just similar, they're identical.
Our goal is to become the Monsanto of the sea.
Same idea, same numbers, same slides. The only difference is the speaker's gender. Yet in the experiment, men and women preferred the male to the female. And in fact, of $50 billion in venture capital invested during 2011 to 2013, only 3% went to companies with female CEOs.
That's hard to test because I think they got excited about a new feature.
We're in a whiteboard meeting at Hopscotch, a New York startup founded by women in 2013. Hopscotch has a popular app that makes programming visual and easy for kids. That means user testing sessions are lively.
Oh, yeah, set invisibility.
Nice. Try that.
Where is it when we send...
With 2 million downloads and counting, Hopscotch has enough of those young users to merit attention of investors. Jocelyn Levitt is co-founder and CEO.
We raised 1.2 initially, and then we raised more afterwards, so we're now at about 3 million.
Levitt says there are great things about starting a company with a woman, but when it comes to raising money from investors...
I wish that we weren't. I wish that we were two guys building it, just because it just seems like everybody's more willing to jump on board.
Levitt gives us a window into how female founders talk to each other about the perils of raising money.
Sometimes women will be like, I should wear a wedding ring to make sure that this investor doesn't hit on me, versus I should not wear a wedding ring because I don't want to have to deal with questions about whether or not I'm going to be having kids anytime soon.
She fiddles with her own band as she talks. Levitt wore it when pitching. She shows me how she even sits differently in those meetings.
The way I'm sitting right now, you know, instead of crossing your legs, which I sometimes do because I'm cold, you sort of sit with your legs sitting apart and you put your elbow on the table as opposed to, you know, sitting there like hunched over and small.
There was this one rejection where an investor questioned whether the team could meet technical challenges.
We didn't know, but it felt a little bit like if we'd been guys, maybe we wouldn't have gotten that kind of feedback.
No one is saying all venture capitalists are sexist. They want to back people who make them rich. But like all of us, they can fall victim to unconscious biases. Think of a startup founder. For many, what comes to mind is the Facebook guy, the Google guys, but typically guys. Elizabeth Webb teaches a decision-making class at Columbia Business School.
If we see someone who looks like Mark Zuckerberg, let's say, we may think they're more likely to be successful because they fit in with that idea of an entrepreneur based on what we see in the media. So all of that kind of works together at a very unconscious level to inform our judgments and our evaluations.
In the end, we all need to accept our tendency to have these biases.
People often just think, well, I'm not that type of person. Other people fall victim to this, but I don't.
But that's just not true. Like other issues, the first step is admitting you have a problem. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.